This is a place where he called them his disciples. This is a place he prayed all night for them. This is a place right now he's up on that mountain watching them. This is where he gave the great commission at the end. It's just an amazing place. But keep reading. So verse 24, and the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Well, they've gotten to the middle of the sea. That's good. That would only take about 15, 20 minutes or so. But they were tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. In other words, they were in the middle, and they hadn't got out.
How long?
Where was Jesus all this time? Watching. Because notice what it says. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. He knew right where they were. He had been watching them the whole time. He actually came to them across the storm. He allowed the storm. He sent them out knowing they were going to get the storm. He knew they were going to get trapped in the middle. He knew they were going to be scared to death. And he comes on the storm right up to them. I meet people regularly caught in similar storms. It's the storm, like I told you, in the oil patch where they're losing their jobs. And they're desperately back in church kind of going, hey, did you see what's happening down here? Like they got to catch God up. He actually sent the storm to come to them on it. I mean, other people, they contract cancer, and it's like they pull out all the stops, and as if the Lord didn't even know when he genetically predisposed them that way and formed them so that they would come to this point of utter weakness, that he comes to us across the storms of the job loss, the health loss, the financial, relational, familial, whatever storm it is. Jesus comes in the storm. And notice what he does. Notice this. He comes to rescue Peter and stretch out his hand to him in the storm. You all know the story, but I'll read it to you. And immediately they cried out at the end of verse 26 because they thought Jesus was a ghost. Verse 27, Jesus says, hey, be of good cheer. You know, don't worry about me. I'm walking on the water and you're sinking, but don't worry about me. Don't be afraid. And verse 28, Peter said, if it's you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. Amazing. Peter always had to say something. Never thought about it before he said it, but aren't we glad for him? And Jesus said, verse 29, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But he saw that the storm had not ended. It was awful. And he started paying more attention to the storm than the one that called him to walk on the water. And so you know what it says. He began to sink, verse 30. And he cried out saying three words, Lord, save me. Wow. Jesus, just like in the mountain watching the disciples, watched you straining against the waves of storm this week. I don't know what storm you have. We all have storms. Jesus saw all of your fears, that you were sinking back into that sin. Believers, there is a sin that so easily besets us, and we don't like it, and we avoid it and hate it, but yet sin is a monster of such evil mien that to be hated needs but to be seen, but seen too oft, familiar with face, first we endure, then pity, then embrace. And we go back to those old sins. And Jesus saw your fears that you were sinking back Easter week and you went back. And Jesus saw each of us knocked down by the waves of fear, if that's what gets you, the waves of doubt, if that's what gets you, the chains of lust and whatever, if that's what gets you, or sadness. But Jesus saw that your boat was swamped with the waves. And he stayed up watching until it was the crescendo, and then he started walking on the storm right to where you were. Jesus sees it all and wants you to cry out to him from the storm as you start to sink, and he wants you to say, Lord, save me. Now, for some of you, you've never said that to even get to know him. And that's the only way to get to know him. That's the way of salvation. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I need you. But after you get saved, it's the way it still operates. I can't overcome fear and doubt and anxiety and lust and anger. I can't overcome those on my own. I can't try harder because the arm of flesh always will fail. Jesus wants me to cry out to him. What's interesting is when Peter saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid. And by the way, faith over fear or fear negates faith. Those are mutual exclusives. You can't have fear and faith. That's why the Lord says fear not. So you can walk by faith. But when he was afraid, zeroed out the faith, he began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Jesus cannot resist responding when we cry out to him. Well, this morning, for believers, we're not in a boat and we're not in Galilee. We are supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're supposed to still be crying out. And it still works. Always has. Jesus stretches out his hands every day to us. He's watching in his omniscience. And he wants to come to us. He wants us to say those three simple words. Lord, save me.
Here we go. Okay.
What happens when we sink? Christ's priesthood is, he's still cleansing us today. Do you remember that leper that came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can cleanse me? And Jesus assured him and said, I'm willing. Be clean. This morning, Jesus stretches out his hands to us. He wants to cleanse us today. But most of all, and I'm going to conclude with this, Jesus is all the way through the gospel record, the 89 chapters, touching people. He could have just talked to them. In fact, he could have sent angels. But Jesus touched the lepers. He touched the mud. He put him in the blind eyes. He stuck his fingers in the ears of the deaf. He touched people. Because he wanted us to think about the touch of Jesus. He touched Peter at his direst moment of fear when he was sinking. He touched the leper in his darkest moment of decay. He touched Thomas with his deep, dark doubt. And he didn't reject them. He touched them because they cried out to him. Let me ask you, have you ever cried out to the Lord, number one, to save you? If you've never asked him to save you, I can assure you this morning, you're not saved. He said you get saved by calling on the name of the Lord. We have a lot of people that are trying to assimilate heaven. It's not assimilatable. It's callable. You have to knock by faith and go through the door and call on the one who is the door. Before you leave Easter Sunday, have you connected to Christ? Do you know you're connected? If not, you should be connecting with him today. And if you're a believer, you should be connecting, asking him to take you through the storm. Not avoid it, but to come into your boat and take you through and cry out to him. That's why he came. He came to give us that abundant life.